Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got this perverted book here, Born That Way After All. This is the book that Bob Gray, Jeff Owens, David Baker, S.M. Davis, Kenny Jackson, other people are trying to bring into the independent fundamental Baptist churches. They've got their Independent Baptist Online College where this guy is teaching, this David Johnny Nixon. And he's even teaching a class about this particular perverted doctrine that sodomites are actually born as eunuchs. So when Bob Gray has been called on the carpet about this, he just keeps saying over again, read the book, read the book. You haven't read the book. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to read that book. In fact, he called my friend Paul Wittenberger and told him, you need to read the book. Have you read the book? So here I've got the book that Bob Gray wants everybody to read. And I just want to show you some excerpts from this book, just to show you what it's about, okay? First of all, I'll show you this quote just real quick. Why am I attracted to the same sex? This is the question I'm asked by many eunuchs. Now, the reason why you're asked that question by so many eunuchs is because they're not eunuchs. They're sodomites, okay? They're homos. But his whole book is based on the fact that these people are actually born eunuchs. And what that means to him is that they're born without any attraction toward men or women, and then somehow they just accidentally end up being a sodomite. So anyway, let me show you this part on here. This is a page on cross-dressing. Let's read some of this. Gender dysphoria, or childhood gender nonconformity, is a condition in which children and teens do not conform to expected societal behavior. Some signs and traits of this condition include cross-gender clothing and grooming preferences. Typical among those who are diagnosed includes a fascination with the clothing of the opposite sex. Even though this sometimes leads to a desire for cross-dressing, it's well reported that over 75% of these individuals identify themselves as heterosexual. Among the many major studies in this area, gender dysphoria is accepted by many medical professionals to be both physiological and psychological. Medical research also indicates that gender nonconforming behaviors are relatively treatable, such as testosterone deficiency or congenital adrenal hyperplasia. So basically, he goes on and on about cross-dressing as it's a condition, though it's a condition, or those who've been diagnosed with it, it's a condition. He's trying to make it out that it's a medical problem, okay? But it's funny because in all this talk about cross-dressing, he never tells you what the Bible says, okay? Here's the one verse in the Bible that talks about cross-dressing. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Notice, that does not say, as people often quote this, that it is an abomination to cross-dress. It actually says that if you cross-dress, you are an abomination, for all that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. So, you know, man's wisdom over here of the world says, oh, it's just a medical condition. Over here it says, no, the problem is the person doing it's an abomination. Okay. But he doesn't even bring up the relevant scripture. Look what he says next. These are real world issues that are prevalent in our society today. You may recall a male celebrity athlete announcing to the world that he felt like he was truly a female. How did you respond? Many Christians voiced their opinions about his confession in a rather questionable manner. People that suffer with transgender-related issues should not be maligned or mocked. So notice what he says. They're suffering with transgender-related issues. So the Bible says they're an abomination. Johnny Nixon says, oh, they're a victim. They're suffering. And he's talking about Bruce Jenner here, whose picture in drag, cross-dressed, was on the cover of a magazine that was seen by literally over a billion people. It was everywhere in the airports and the grocery stores. Everywhere you looked, you saw that filthy picture. Your children were exposed to it. And instead of getting angry and being upset about the fact that this sodomite put his dirty picture in the minds of half of our planet, he's worried about, but how did you respond? Many Christians voiced, shut up. I don't care what you think about how Christians acted. That's a filthy picture. And he's not suffering. He's not diagnosed. He's an abomination. And friend, if you're at home and you don't agree with me, just remember, you don't agree with God. This is God's word. This is not my word. This is the devil's lies over here.
Why am I attracted to the same sex? This is a question I'm asked by many eunuchs.
Yeah, of course that's weird to think that a eunuch would be attracted to the same sex because a eunuch is not a sodomite. But anyway, he says, number one is inherent same-sex attraction. Same-sex attraction is not exclusive. We all possess it. How do you like this quote?
This leads me to conclude that we should have biblical eunuchs of both sexes in our churches that interact with the kids.
So he wants dudes who are attracted to the same sex working with our kids. He wants to bring them in as a children's worker. That's always been the goal of this movement. What these victims do not understand is that we all had those desires. We already looked at this page. There may be times when a young person is asked leading questions such as, do you remember as a child having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys? In the courtroom, that would be considered a leading question. The answer is yes for every person, but to the confused young person, this leads them to a ridiculous confusion. So note, let me ask you, viewer at home, do you remember as a child, if you're a man, do you remember as a child having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys? He claims that the answer is yes for every person. Well, sorry, Johnny Nixon, I don't remember ever having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys. And I have a suspicion that probably most of the people watching this video don't remember that. But according to Johnny Nixon, the answer is yes for every person. Well, speak for yourself, Johnny Nixon, because that's not a desire that normal people have. Two eunuchs, and remember, this is his code word for basically men who are attracted to other men and men who formerly have actually had sex with other men. Two eunuchs of the same sex can develop a wonderful and chaste relationship with one another that is in no way sexual or romantic. Two eunuch men or women can live together in chastity as long as they remain mentally pure and avoid any appearance of evil. So basically, these former, quote-unquote, former sodomites that he wants to bring in, these men who are attracted to other men that he claims were born that way because they were born eunuchs, he wants to bring them in, make them children's workers, and he's even saying they can live with another eunuch dude. So these two couple of queers, basically, he calls them eunuchs, but he's talking about men who lust after other men, can live together, be in church, living together with their partner, but just as long as they're celibate, as long as they're chaste, you know. Yeah, and how are we going to know that? We're supposed to just take their word for it that they're celibate now as they live with their gay buddy, okay? You can develop strong emotional same-sex ties, but it may be wise not to share a living place or to show open affection too often. So, you know, it might be wise not to if people are freaking out. And don't show open affection too often towards one another. He's talking about your eunuch same-sex partner that you live with. Okay. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says a man leaves father and mother and cleaves unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And of course, there's also the option given of a man just remaining single, like the Apostle Paul or other people in the Bible who remain single. Nobody's teaching that people have to get married. That's a straw man. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about how you don't have to get married if you don't want to. If you can handle being single and serve God, great. But he wants these people living with their eunuch buddy. And he says, don't show open affection too often toward one another. So save all the cuddling with your eunuch buddy. Save that for behind closed doors. Just don't do it openly too often. Sometimes do it openly, but not too often. And you may not want to share a living place if it's going to offend people. All right, let's keep going here. Our failure, right? It's our fault as Christians. We're the reason why the sodomites are the way they are. Can you see where the church has failed these people? We've been a dark house rather than a lighthouse. We've preached against their lack of desire toward the opposite sex rather than providing a scriptural answer for them. I don't know about you, but I've been an independent fundamental Baptist my entire life. And I got saved as a six-year-old boy, and I've gone to church every week for my entire life. And I have never heard any preacher preach against a lack of desire for the opposite sex. I've never heard of that in my entire life. Because the truth of the matter is they preach against men burning in lust toward other men. He has this straw man that we preach against their lack of desire. Okay, look at this quote. We've all heard this quote before. We all fear what we don't understand. Lots of people have said that quote. But he gives credit to novelist Dan Brown. Novelist Dan Brown. We all fear what we do not understand. Now, novelist Dan Brown wrote probably the most blasphemous novel of our generation called The Da Vinci Code, which makes Christ out to be a fornicator and that Jesus fathered these bastard children with Mary Magdalene and everything. Is he just trying to rub our nose in the fact that he worships Satan? Why would he quote novelist Dan Brown when he wrote one of the most blasphemous books, The Da Vinci Code? Some would say you cannot be saved and become a homosexual. Well, I've got news for you. Sam was. The basis of the book is a guy named Sam who was supposedly born a eunuch, but he got confused and he went out and you know, committed abomination, fornication with other men, men with men. And, you know, but according to this guy, he was saved as a kid. He was saved the whole time he was doing all that. And obviously, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I believe that anybody who lusts after other men or commits these abominations has been given over to a reprobate mind, according to Romans 1. It says right here, it is my experience that there are scores of people who are involved in the gay lifestyle who are so confused that they don't know what to do. They know that they're born again. They know that they love the Lord. Now, the Bible says that if we love God, we keep his commandments. Now, true, you can be born again without keeping God's commandments. I don't believe sodomites are born again because the Bible says that the reason that they're sodomites is because they rejected God. They rejected the Creator, so he gave them over to vile affections. That's what Romans 1 teaches. But here he's saying that they actually love the Lord. Well, not everybody who's saved even loves the Lord. The Bible says that if we say that we love God and we keep not his commandments, then we're a liar. So this guy is just denying scripture and saying that people are just living in sodomy, living in the most filthy, abominable of sins. He's claiming, well, they know that they love God. You know, they know that they're born again. And it says, but they feel this distortion of truth is the way God made them. They're angry, bitter, and hurt because the church doesn't want them. Many of them could be salvaged if the church wanted them.
Christ wants them, and so should we. Yeah, we know you want them, Johnny. All right, let's see what else I got. Just for sake of time, I'm just trying to show you the highlights or the low points here. Most eunuchs are sensitive to signals from others who are in the same situation from whence they came or who are struggling with their identity. Yeah, this is because homos have got a lot of practice at identifying other homos, so that they can hook up with them in the public restroom for a casual encounter. That's why they're so good at seeing those signals. Here's what the author Johnny Nixon is saying. I'm not a heterosexual. This is the first thing I tell a person when I meet with them regarding their sexual identity. What do we got here? The use of labels does not communicate the love of Christ. I've had Christians defend their sharp tongue by reminding me that Jesus called the Pharisees such things as snakes and scorpions. My reply, Jesus also walked on water. How about you? Why aren't you a water walker? No, this is a fraud. The Bible says that Christ left us an example that we're to follow in his steps. And the Bible says, he that is of God speaketh the words of God. So Jesus' preaching is the example. No, God did not command us to walk on water, but God did command us to preach the word. And so Jesus is preaching and calling the Pharisees serpents and vipers is an example to us.
Are you walking on water?
I mean, that's a silly argument. Even the word sodomite is a description of a person who chooses to perform perverted sexual behavior with someone of the same sex in exchange for something of value. But a person, by definition, is not inherently a sodomite. Sodomy is an act, not a title. Well, if a person is not inherently a sodomite, and if sodomy is not a title, then how did Joash and Asa remove all the sodomites out of the land if that's not a type of person, if that's not a title? How did Asa break down the houses of the Sodomites? How did Jehoshaphat get the Sodomites out of the land? He just makes this up. Sodomy is an act. Not a, the word sodomy is not in the Bible. Only the word sodomite in the Bible. So he tries to constantly take the emphasis off of the person and put it on the action. Like, well, and it goes back to his Hindu philosophy of love the sinner, hate the sin, which is a quote from Gandhi. See, all they that do so are abomination. But he says, it's not a title. It's not a person. It's an act. No, the Bible says sodomite about people. He's claiming that only a sodomite is someone who sells it. Only someone who does it in exchange for something of value. So he's saying homos are not sodomites. So he's going with the modern versions like the NIV where they replace sodomite with male prostitute. He's going with that interpretation. Let me blow through some of this here. Oh man, this is bizarre. So this chapter right here has to do with how to identify these eunuchs in your church. He said, you know, these people that God created with no desire sexually for either men or women, these wonderful, special servants of God that God created, they're born that way. He tells you, you know, these are some signals to look for to identify these special eunuchs so that you can help them and counsel them. Does he sometimes exhibit flamboyance? One characteristic many eunuchs have, which is often seen in the so-called homosexual lifestyle, is a combination of quiet nobility and flamboyance. So when he looks at the fags of our world, he says they exhibit quiet nobility and flamboyance. They like flashy colors and they enjoy the things that we may often equate with femininity. Are they touchy-feely individuals? And then he says, is his appearance important to him? Does he desire to be seen as lovely? Does he like to wear bright clothing and colors that are more often associated with women? A eunuch may be extremely fashion conscious. Physical appearance is extremely important to them. So the thing that's so weird about this is that he literally is trying to expect us to believe that the fact that God supposedly made these men to be special, undistracted servants of him that don't get married and just are fully dedicated to serving him. So why would God create them fashion conscious? Can you explain that to me? So born that way after all. You really were to be born to be fashion conscious. I mean, what is this guy's favorite TV show? Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? I mean, look at this filth. A eunuch is going to wear women's colors like pink shirts, and he's going to be fashion conscious, and his physical appearance is extremely important. What does that have to do with being a eunuch? That makes no sense. So he's basically describing what sodomites are like. Flamboyant, touchy-feely, wearing pink, extremely fashion conscious, and claiming, oh, that's how you'll know the eunuchs. Because they basically, when they have a limp wrist and giggle a lot, and when they're into fashion, that's when you know. Why would God create people to be born that way as a fashion conscious individual? Is that what Matthew 19:12 says? I mean, this guy's crazy.
I must make it clear that not every person who engages in unnatural behavior was born to be a eunuch. Most of those with whom I've met have been eunuchs, but there are those who merely have allowed their lust to consume them and lead them into these sinful activities. So basically he's saying that not all homos were born eunuchs. Some people just went into that for other reasons. But he's claiming that most of the homos that he's run into were born eunuchs. I mean, this is insane. This is ridiculous. By the way, one of the most telling things about this book is what it doesn't say. Just like it doesn't bring up Deuteronomy 22:5, it also conveniently never references Romans 1 where it talks about God giving them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men burning in lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You see, he doesn't even bring that up in a whole book talking about how sodomites got that way. That's what the whole book is about. Born that way after. It's a whole book about how sodomites got that way. He conveniently never brings up that God gave them up unto vile affections.
That's why the women changed the natural use of that which is against it. And likewise also the men. So God gave them up to vile affections. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He just never even mentions that in a whole book about how they got that way. Because, you know, most of them, it's just that they were born eunuchs, which is not logical. Because if you're a eunuch and you have no attraction toward either gender, and that's his weird definition of a eunuch, then you wouldn't be with other dudes as a man or with other women as a woman. Then he kind of leaves it open that maybe they are born attracted to the... Because he's trying to ease you in. This is how the devil is. He's moving the landmark, moving the goalpost. Right now, he's getting the independent Baptist to just accept, oh, they're born special, they're born eunuchs. But he's opening the door for later on teaching that maybe they are actually born even lusting after the other, even lusting after the same sex. What if because of sin and its curse, a person is born with a disposition towards same-sex attraction? That would still not excuse the choice to sin. So he's saying there, well, maybe it's possible. What if somebody is born a homosexual? Even though he claims he never said that, he puts a question mark where God puts a period, right? Well, maybe. I don't know. What if they were? And he says, what if a person is born that way? Is it possible then for someone to be born with a gay orientation? Certainly on the surface, this argument appears logical, even scriptural. How does that argument appear scriptural on the surface? I'd like a chapter and verse on that. And he explains how being a homo has been proven not to be genetic, which obviously I agree with. I contend that just because something is genetic doesn't mean it's voluntary. Doesn't mean it's a choice just because it's not genetic. All right, let's keep going. Okay, I already did a whole video covering him lying about the Greek, claiming it's three different words when it's three of the same word. I'm not going to do that again. Check out my video on, it's called Going Back to the Greek Stupidity. Okay, look at this. This is where he talks about how women, this is in the chapter on female eunuchs, which, by the way, don't exist, but he went back to the Greek to show us that. In this, he claims that when God called the woman a help to Adam, well, first of all, it says made to rule with man. Let them have dominion. According to Genesis 1:26, every woman's purpose is to rule with man in order to bring glory to God. When God called the woman a help to Adam, the Hebrew word here, and we know how good he is at Greek, so we can't trust the Hebrew, is the same word used elsewhere in Scripture to describe the help of military reinforcements. Okay, so when your wife's supposed to be your helper, she's actually ruling with you, and she's more like a military commando to help you. You know, I really want my wife to be some butch military helper. But what he's lying about here, he's mixing a little truth with a lie. Yes, original intent, woman was created, you know, totally co-equal with man, and there was no structure of man ruling over woman when God created man in Genesis chapter 1. That's clear. But what he's failing to show you is that in chapter 3, verse 16, as a result of sin, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband. Watch this. And he shall rule over thee. So from Genesis 3 forward, the man is told that he would rule over the woman. But here he says that the women are supposed to rule with men. He never quotes a scripture that says, obey your husbands, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Titus chapter 2, to be obedient to their own husbands. He just teaches this doctrine of, well, women are made to rule with man. Well, that's really cute, Johnny Nixon. But did you, I guess he never got past Genesis 1 in his Bible reading. He never got to chapter 3. Dealing with cultural lesbian. All this is explaining why women are lesbians. Some of them are born eunuchs. Others are cultural lesbians. Blah, 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 blah. Why doesn't he just go to Romans 1 to tell us why the women are lesbians? I mean, the Bible clearly explains why the women are lesbians. It says right here that because they did not acknowledge the Creator, they did not... They knew God. They glorified Him not as God. They were not thankful. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women to change the natural use and that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. Okay, the Bible explains how they got that way. He doesn't even bring that up as one of the options. That's how they all got that way. He doesn't even put it forth as an option. It's just, well, no, they just had bad experiences with men, or maybe they're eunuchs, or blah, 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 blah. All right, I'm trying to prioritize here for sake of time. Oh, here we go. About the eunuchs. They will not know what it's like to be called mommy or daddy by a child of their own. Although they're often greatly compensated by the vast number of people who look to them as a father or mother figure. Because remember, earlier in the book and on the BornThatWay.org website, he says that these people should be made children's workers, which has always been the look at Nambla and all, you know, the modus operandi of the sodomites is to get access to children because they are pedophiles, okay? So, you know, they're going to look to them as their father figure, just like their George Michael song. It's about molesting children. All right, let's see here. Gotta prioritize here because of time. Yeah, this, you know, calling sin by name has morphed into calling sinners names. Many preachers are caught up in the rhetoric of words that once would have been deemed as acceptable, but now is considered hate speech. Now notice he says that it once would have been deemed as acceptable. That's pretty interesting because earlier in the book, he tells a story about going to youth conference, and he doesn't name the names, but it's obvious what he's talking about because he gives exact quotes from Jeff Owen's youth conference sermon. The sermon's called Struck Blind. It was preached at youth conference at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. He tells the story. Ironically, Johnny Nixon was actually there for that sermon. I remember as a teenager attending a youth conference, and that's at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and hearing a message preached on being a true Christian man. The preacher brought a powerful message, and much of what he said was spot on. I remember one particular part of that sermon quite vividly. In it, he used incredibly strong language to condemn gay men. He called them names and made violent threats. He said that real men should banish homosexuals to non-existence. He even said that AIDS was a curse sent from God. Of course, the preacher was Jeff Owens. Sermon was called Struck Blind. I'm the one who uploaded it to YouTube years later. Before I knew it, I was so caught up in the moment that I was standing and shouting, "Praise the Lord!" I could hardly believe that was me because it was totally out of character for me, but it all sounded so good at the moment. Clearly, this kind of preaching often takes things way too far, and much of what he said was rhetoric and not what he actually believed. In fact, to his credit, the preacher who preached this message apologized publicly a few years later for the hurtful language and the suggestions of violence in his sermon. However, and this is the key, that was pretty much how we all felt about it at the time. We knew homosexuality was wrong and perverted, and not only that, it was unnatural to us, okay? I mean, think about this. There were thousands of people at that sermon. Youth conference is a huge event at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Thousands of people were there, and if you listen to the recording of Jeff Owens preaching that sermon, you can hear the whole place is shouting amen. You know, if you listen real carefully on the tape, you'll even hear Johnny Nixon shouting amen. Okay. Because they all, but what's funny is he admits that in the mid-90s, because that sermon I think was preached around 94, 96, somewhere around there. In the mid-90s, we all felt that way about it at the time. Okay, so what's the difference 20 years later? Could it be 20 years of brainwashing and Hollywood programming and TV programming? And the media cramming this down our throat. So according to Johnny Nixon, all of us were wrong back then. Everybody who was at that youth conference and cheering and carrying on, everybody was wrong. Here's what I want to know. Why did no one have a problem with Jeff Owens' sermon when he preached it? Why didn't anybody tell him at the time, hey, you know, you need to not say that? Why didn't he apologize at the time? He said he apologized a couple years after. Jeff Owens apologized about 15 to 20 years after, okay, is the true story. I think it was about 15 years after he preached the sermon, he apologized. And this is why, because I personally uploaded that clip from that sermon that I had from an old sermon tape. I uploaded that to YouTube, and the sodomites persecuted Jeff Owens. That's when he apologized. The reason he didn't apologize in the 90s is because in the 90s, that was normal preaching, and nobody was offended. Nobody batted an eye. Nobody cared. Now, all of a sudden, it's hate speech, according to him. And back then, he knew homosexuality was wrong and perverted. And not only that, it was unnatural to us. Well, you know what? I'm still in that 90s time frame of mentality. You know what I mean? It's funny how now these preachers, Jeff Owens, Bob Gray, Johnny Nixon, they're promoting this garbage. And then they even call me an idiot and you're crazy, your preaching's insane. But it's identical to what they preached in the 90s. And he said, look, we all felt that way about it at the time. So these guys have changed with the times and they expect us to go right down the tube with them.
My position on homosexuality was pretty standard. It was a sin. It was a sin and an abomination to the Lord.
Well, amen. Sam is the main character of the book. They even allowed Sam to help in VBS before he was out of high school because he was so good with the kids. Just a constant reference to how these so-called eunuchs that are actually, he calls them a eunuch, they're actually sodomites. And I realize there really are eunuchs in this world, but what he's talking about as a eunuch is actually men who end up committing filth with other men. He keeps referencing them, you know, teaching with the kids. This is the first words he said when he talked to Sam.
This is Johnny Nixon. Sam, the reason I'm here is to talk to you about your sex life.
Yeah, because you like to listen to perverted things. Doesn't surprise me. And then he claims that the standard answer when children ask their parents, what does it mean to be gay? Gay is when a man does not like girls. Why would any parent give their child such a stupid, ridiculous answer? No, gay is when a man is into other dudes. It's not when he doesn't like girls. It's, again, the straw man of the entire book. Okay, now this part is just mind-blowing. Okay, in the book, the whole story is about how this Christian kid, Sam, he wasn't attracted to girls, so he got confused, he got backslidden, he got out of church, he went off to college, and while he's at college, this other guy invites him to a bar. And when he gets to the bar, that other guy is with a few other friends from college and says to him, hey, I'm here to confront you because I think that you're, I'll use their word, gay. I hate that word because it's not the right meaning of it. But hey, we believe you're gay and we're gay too. And he basically tells Sam, I want to have intercourse with you. I'm here to confront you because I'm a homo and I think you're a homo too and I want to have intercourse with you, okay? And then Sam, at that moment, that's like the most accepted he's ever felt. For the first time, he feels loved and accepted. So he has intercourse with the guy. Okay, that's what the book is about. And of course, you know, this is the guy who Johnny Nixon pulls him out of that and makes him into a celibate eunuch children's worker. His way transforms him into. It would be easy for us to think that the motives of the young man who approached Sam were in some way sinister.
I prefer to think he's probably just another Sam, just a bit further down the road. So even the guy who recruited Sam into a full-blown sodomite lifestyle, even the guy who sought him out, brought him to a bar, ganged up on him with other sodomites, of course, putting alcohol in him, you think that's a coincidence that he approaches him with this at a bar? The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also that thou mayest look on their nakedness. In Habakkuk 2:15, all the pronouns are male pronouns. It's a dude giving another dude alcohol to look on a dude's nakedness. Habakkuk 2:15 is referring to homos giving alcohol to other homos to look on their nakedness. But according to Nixon, that is in no way sinister. It'd be easy for us to think that the motives of the young man who approached Sam were in some way sinister. He's saying they weren't sinister at all. He's just another confused eunuch. He's probably just another.
So even just the sodomite recruiters who are taking people who've never done it and enticing them into that lifestyle through alcohol, they're not even sinister. They're just victims of gender nonconformity disorder. We just haven't diagnosed them and yada, yada, yada.
I have no illusions. What Sam so readily received will likely be rejected by multitudes of others who are under the bondage of their sin. However, this truth can still make their families free from shame that Satan is throwing at them. That's important as well.
So what he's saying is, if you have a sodomite kid, even if your kid just laughs at this eunuch doctrine and they don't receive it like Sam received it and they just continue being a sodomite, at least you can use this as an excuse and claim they were born that way so that you don't have to take responsibility for how you raised your kid, or churches don't have to take responsibility why so many of their kids are perverts. Because they just say, oh, well, we could be free from shame because eunuchs. All right. So that's another reason why this is so popular. It's popular in churches that have left their kids unsupervised or had eunuchs watching them, and they have a bunch of molested sodomites. Then they can say, well, it's not our fault. God just made them eunuchs. Okay, let's see if there's anything else major that I haven't shown yet. This is just about Sam, which is, obviously a pseudonym, not his real name. And then he claims that I'm accusing his former sodomite, quote-unquote former sodomite ministry partner as having committed abominations with no proof, but he's admitting to it right here that he engaged in that behavior. Okay, listen to this. Let me take this a step further. Sodom was not merely a city filled with homosexual activity. In fact, there may have been fewer homosexuals than you think. I mean, what is he talking about? The Bible says that all the men of the city, young and old, and the Bible goes on and on in Genesis 19, just to hammer that point, okay, when they go there to try to rape the two men that have come into the city, and they want to violently force them, and then they attempt to rape Lot, in fact. But in that story, it says, for before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men that came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. But he's got his little cute statement of, in fact, there may have been fewer homosexuals than you think. Okay, here's his analysis of what happened in Sodom. Men who were not attracted to men developed appetites for sexual perversions that led to same-sex activities. That is more rampant in America than we know. They didn't start out with sexual desire for men. I'm not saying that it doesn't eventually come. Okay, so here's what he's saying. Men who were not attracted to men, that's what Sodom is all about. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Okay, they developed it, but they weren't really attracted to men. Then how'd they develop it? That doesn't even make sense. It says right here that men with men burned in their lust one toward another. It's not saying they weren't into it, but, you can't even make this stuff up. It's so weird. This was the beginning of the greatest change in Sam's life since the day he was saved, because he teaches that he was saved since he was a little kid. Oh, here's more going back to the Hebrew. The word officer here, simply another English translation for the Hebrew word saris or eunuch. Again, watch my video on him going back to the Greek and then see if you believe that. He thinks Potiphar was a eunuch, even though Potiphar's married. More going back to the Greek nonsense that can easily be disproven by anybody who knows how to order Greek food at a restaurant. Anyway, I think I've shown you most of it. Obviously, I could go on and on. There's a lot that I have marked in here where he's blaming us. He's blaming us for homos. The emphasis on marriage within the Christian community is somewhat to blame for the issue of same-sex marriage. And he just lies and claims that it's our fault. And why is homosexuality running rampant in this day? Perhaps the cause is also the cure. I mean, no, actually, the reason why homosexuality is running rampant is because people are being taught to deny the Creator and deny the Lord, and God's giving them over unto vile affections. That's what's actually happening. That's what's actually going on. And so I just want to quickly flip through, make sure I didn't miss anything major here. I think I covered pretty much everything. I mean, as if that's not enough, right? So this is the book that Bob Gray says, have you even read the book? Did you even read it? Well, does it look like I read it, Bob Gray? Looks like I definitely read it. And anybody who is telling you that you should read this book for yourself, they want you to read this perverted trash. Do not let these people off the hook. We cannot just sit back. You know what they're hoping is going to happen? They're hoping that this kind of just goes away. That we basically just forget about it. And, you know, oh, this will all blow over. And then we can keep on making money through our Independent Baptist Online College. And Bob Gray can still go preach at a different church every single week, promoting his college where Johnny Nixon is teaching a class on this garbage. He's listed as a Bible instructor of Online Baptist Bible College. You know, these guys, S.M. Davis, Jeff Owens, Bob Gray, they think this is just going to blow over and then they can just continue moving the landmark, teaching this homo propaganda. But we have to not let up on this, folks. We can't just let this go away. These guys need to be held accountable. And you say, well, how long are they going to be held accountable? Until they stop teaching this. And they should be boycotted. You know, I posted Bob Gray's preaching schedule because of the fact that, you know, he's promoting his college at every church. That's why he's on tour right now. And the college has this class in it, this teacher in it. This is the poison that they're smuggling in. Who knows what other weird stuff they're teaching in that college. But the point is that if your church is on that list and Bob Gray is coming to preach at your church, or if Jeff Owens is coming to preach at your church, or if S.M. Davis is coming to your church, you need to let your pastor know about this. You could show him this video and let him know what these people are teaching. And you know, obviously you got to be respectful to your pastor, rebuke not an elder, but you should, and treat him as a father and tell him, look, don't fall for this stuff. And that, you know, you shouldn't have Bob Gray come in and if he's peddling this college that is associated with this stuff, okay? And, you know, if your pastor doesn't agree, well, then you should either A, stay home from church that night and not attend the Bob Gray service, boycott Bob Gray's preaching, or number two, show up and confront Bob Gray and hold him accountable. Because when people call him, he doesn't want to talk about the eunuch doctrine that this whole book is about. He just wants to change the subject and talk about reprobates or talk about soul winning or talk about some other subject. People need to confront him and hold him accountable until he owns up to this. This is what he's promoting. He needs to own it. And so, you know, I feel very strongly about this because I know that our country is turning into a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And I love my children, and I don't want my children to grow up in a world where, you know, they just can't even go outside or go to the store or go to work without just vexing their righteous soul from day to day. And especially, I don't want them to have to vex their righteous soul at church by seeing and hearing the unlawful deeds of these same gender couplings, these pairs of buddies. Look, this is the choice right here, friend. This book right here is so mean-spirited. This book's real loving. No, actually, God is love, and God wrote this book. He said they're an abomination. He said all kinds of wonderful things in Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, Romans 1. Are you writing this down? Jude, 2 Peter chapter 2. Hey, read those scriptures and then ask yourself why none of those scriptures appears in this book. God bless you. Have a great day. End up being a sodomite. So anyway, let me show you this part on here. This is a page on cross-dressing. Let's read some of this. Gender dysphoria, or childhood gender nonconformity, is a condition in which children and teens do not conform to expected societal behavior. Some signs and traits of this condition include cross-gender clothing and grooming preferences. Typical among those who are diagnosed includes a fascination with the clothing of the opposite sex. Even though this sometimes leads to a desire for cross-dressing, it's well reported that over 75% of these individuals identify themselves as heterosexual. Among the many major studies in this area, gender dysphoria is accepted by many medical professionals to be both physiological and psychological. Medical research also indicates that gender nonconforming behaviors are relatively treatable, such as testosterone deficiency or congenital adrenal hyperplasia. So basically, he goes on and on about cross-dressing as it's a condition, though it's a condition, or those who've been diagnosed with it, it's a condition. He's trying to make it out that it's a medical problem, okay? But it's funny because in all this talk about cross-dressing, he never tells you what the Bible says, okay? Here's the one verse in the Bible that talks about cross-dressing. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, Neither shall a man put his dirty picture in the minds of half of our planet. He's worried about,
but how did you respond? Many Christians vote.
Shut up. I don't care what you think about how Christians acted. That's a filthy picture. And he's not suffering. He's not diagnosed. He's an abomination. And friend, if you're at home and you don't agree with me, just remember, you don't agree with God. This is God's word. This is not my word. This is the devil's lies over here.
Why am I attracted to the same sex? This is a question I'm asked by many eunuchs.
Yeah, of course that's weird to think that a eunuch would be attracted to the same sex because a eunuch is not a sodomite. But anyway, he says, number one is inherent same-sex attraction. Same-sex attraction is not exclusive. We all possess it. How do you like this quote?
This leads me to conclude that we should have biblical eunuchs of both sexes in our churches that interact with the kids.
So he wants dudes who are attracted to the same sex working with our kids. He wants to bring them in as a children's worker. That's always been the goal of this movement. What these victims do not understand is that we all had those desires. We already looked at this page. There may be times when a young person is asked leading questions such as, do you remember as a child having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys? In the courtroom, that would be considered a leading question. The answer is yes for every person, but to the confused young person, this leads them to a ridiculous confusion. So note, let me ask you, viewer at home, do you remember as a child, if you're a man, do you remember as a child having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys? He claims that the answer is yes for every person. Well, sorry, Johnny Nixon, I don't remember ever having a longing to have a physical relationship with other boys. And I have a suspicion that probably most of the people watching this video don't remember that. But according to Johnny Nixon, the answer is yes for every person. Well, speak for yourself, Johnny Nixon, because that's not a desire that normal people have. Two eunuchs, and remember, this is his code word for basically men who are attracted to other men and men who formerly have actually had sex with other men. Two eunuchs of the same sex can develop a wonderful and chaste relationship with one another that is in no way sexual or romantic. Two eunuch men or women can live together in chastity as long as they remain mentally pure and avoid any appearance of evil. So basically, these former, quote-unquote, former sodomites that he wants to bring in, these men who are attracted to other men that he claims were born that way because they were born eunuchs, he wants to bring them in, make them children's workers, and he's even saying they can live with another eunuch dude. Put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Notice, that does not say, as people often quote this, that it is an abomination to cross-dress. It actually says that if you cross-dress, you are an abomination, for all that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. So, you know, man's wisdom over here of the world says, oh, it's just a medical condition. Over here it says, no, the problem is the person doing it's an abomination. Okay. But he doesn't even bring up the relevant scripture. Look what he says next. These are real world issues that are prevalent in our society today. You may recall a male celebrity athlete announcing to the world that he felt like he was truly a female. How did you respond? Many Christians voiced their opinions about his confession in a rather questionable manner. People that suffer with transgender-related issues should not be maligned or mocked. So notice what he says. They're suffering with transgender-related issues. So the Bible says they're an abomination. Johnny Nixon says, oh, they're a victim. They're suffering. And he's talking about Bruce Jenner here, whose picture in drag, cross-dressed, was on the cover of a magazine that was seen by literally over a billion people. It was everywhere in the airports, in the grocery stores, everywhere you looked. You saw that filthy picture. Your children were exposed to it. And instead of getting angry and being upset about the fact that this sodomite... Hey, everybody. Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got this perverted book here, Born That Way After All. This is the book that Bob Gray, Jeff Owens, David Baker, S.M. Davis, Kenny Jackson, other people are trying to bring into the independent fundamental Baptist churches. They've got their Independent Baptist Online College where this guy is teaching, this David Johnny Nixon, and he's even teaching a class about this particular perverted doctrine that sodomites are actually born as eunuchs. So when Bob Gray has been called on the carpet about this, he just keeps saying over again, read the book, you haven't read the book, you don't know what you're talking about, you need to read that book. In fact, he called my friend Paul Wittenberger and told him, you need to read the book. Have you read the book? So here I've got the book that Bob Gray wants everybody to read, and I just want to show you some excerpts from this book just to show you what it's about, okay? First of all, I'll show you this quote just real quick. Why am I attracted to the same sex? This is the question I'm asked by many eunuchs. Now, the reason why you're asked that question by so many eunuchs is because they're not eunuchs, they're sodomites, okay? They're homos. But his whole book is based on the fact that these people are actually born eunuchs, and what that means to him is that they're born without any attraction toward men or women, and then somehow they just accidentally